Blog Talk Radio.
Clear creeks and cool mountain mornings, honest work out in the field. Cornbread in my mama's kitchen, daddy's saying grace before the meal. Family ties run deep in this land, and I'm never very far from what I am. I was born country, and that's what I'll always be. Like the rivers and the woodland, wild and free. I got 100 years of down home running through my blood. I was born country, and this country's what I love. Moonlight. Here beside me, crickets serenading in the yard. What more could two people ask for, laying here in love beneath the stars? Now this is where I want to raise my kids, just the way my mom and daddy did. I was born country, and that's what I'll always be. Like the rivers and the woodlands, wild and free. I got 100 years of down home running through my blood. I was born country, and this country's what I love. That's what I'll always be. Like the rivers and the woodlands, wild and free. I got 100 years of down home running through my blood. I was born country, and this country's what I love. I was born country.
Everybody, welcome to Patriot Family Chat. My name's Linda. I'm filling in for Hollis Buchanan, and we want to thank PatriotFamilies.com for bringing us this show. I know Bill's going to come in with me in a minute. I'm helping him co-host today's Patriot Family Chat. Hopefully people are out there listening. We got a lot of stuff to talk about, and I do like to play that song for Bill. I know he's a country boy, and he's one of my faves out there. And we just want to say hi to everybody. We're praying for Yo. I did speak to Yo. She just sounds tired and she's frustrated. And I said, don't you worry about the site. We'll figure it out. She gave me Hollis's phone number, so I'm going to try to call him tomorrow. I've been out phone banking. I've been doing rallies. I've been, you know, watching things, the debates. I've been reading books, preparing show notes for my show tomorrow. It's insane. But I did watch the debates, and it's a tough one to get through because I kind of wish Romney would have slammed him on the Libya thing, and he didn't. So I'm going to bring Bill in, and so he can talk about all these things that we're dealing with in our country today. Hey, Bill, welcome.
How you doing, Linda? How's everybody else?
Oh, my gosh. Well, thank God my mom's doing fine. I'm healthy. I got more energy than 6 5-year-olds. I'm so blessed. Don't ask me how it's the Lord. It's my prayers every night. that's it. And I guess I'm doing the right things because I always ask him, you know, you show me the path. If I'm doing something wrong, you put up the roadblocks, and he usually does. So he's letting me skate through this.
And that's what we have to do. You got to have that spiritual guidance to lead you through what we're going through. I'm like you. I feel like I'm a blessed guy. I'm sitting here. I just watched two or three deer cross the road.
Oh.
And, you know, they were in my yard for a few minutes there. And it's beautiful here. It's been a beautiful, warm day today. It was been like 81 degrees or something. And
we got right at 70. It's perfect.
But around my country, I look around my country and it's ugly.
Oh, I know.
It's ugly, Linda. It's ugly what's going on.
Well, I can't even believe that there's undecided voters out there. That just boggles the mind. They must have special keepers to feed them in the morning and help them get out the front door because, I don't know. It astounds me when I talk to people on the phone when even my local city council, I'm making phone calls for Sherry Hodges, which I'll talk a whole bunch about tomorrow, about what's coming up in this election, what my voter pamphlet says and all these things. I'm just dealing with city council and the mayor, for God's sakes. They don't even know who the incumbent mayor of Oceanside is. And they've lived here for – it's astounding to me. And they haven't – they're not up on it. And I say, well, are you undecided? Have you thought about the city council and who would you like to have for your mayor of Oceanside? Oh, I haven't had time to read. I don't know.
Well – and that's where we're at. So many that don't have a clue. I was addressing a bunch of people yesterday and talking about things, and they're like looking at me like, well, how do you know these things?
Uh-huh.
I said, well, I follow what they do on C-SPAN. I wanted to see how my Congress and my Senate worked, so I watched them at work. And then when they name a bill, I'll look that bill up on a government site, and I'll read it to see what was in it. How you doing, Michael? How you doing, FT?
Yeah, welcome everybody.
You know, I have a desire to know what's going on because I hear things, and not everybody that's in this now came into this for the same, got into these positions for the same reasons. There was different little things that brought each one of us out and into the open and fighting.
For me,
it was the illegal immigration. Was the start of it for me. For others, it's been the monetary system crashing, or it's been,
the corruption.
The corruption was rampant in our country.
The Congress of Cowards.
And the refusal to address anything that might really benefit people in any way, and to keep piling up the debts, and neither side is really presenting any real future for us from the things they're talking about and stuff. And I wonder, you know, I was a young man at 17 years old. I joined our army.
Right.
And I did it for maybe, I don't know, but to me it was an honor to be able to do it. It wasn't about my country was, you know, being drafted or anything like that. I volunteered. And
sure. Well, did you get the email I sent from Jeff Schwick on the they come to America? Oh yeah.
Yes.
I'm going to spread that one far and wide.
Oh yes, I've sent it to many, and that's the truth. We instead of helping these people in their own countries, we take the shortcut and lazy way and turn our backs and let them invade our country illegally. And our government caters to them.
Right. Well, there's stuff in the
Bank
chat room.
Bank of America, you know, the Democrats just borrowed a bunch of money from Bank of America.
Oh, God.
But let's look at Bank of America. They were the first ones to offer loans and credit cards to illegal aliens.
Yep, they were. Absolutely.
Along with Wells Fargo.
Ron's correct. It is total enslavement. That's the agenda, Michael.
Yeah, it is.
And
we're so close. Ron, we are so close right now. It is so close right now. And you can't wake people up to it.
No. But
they
you know what?
To see it.
Here's what happened today. I put gas in my car after I did my phone banking, and then I bought my cigarettes at the same place, and then I jammed home so I could watch Beck. And I'm going to get into that in a second. But Then I had, you know, then I got the prescriptions from my mother, and then I tried to find you and didn't know if I was going to do the show or not with you. But anyway, it worked out really well. And I was, and so the guy looks at my bumper sticker and he loved my bumper sticker, my anti-Obama one, where it says, "Does this ass make my car look fat?" And so he gets it. He, this guy's a stranger. I'm wearing my badge for Team Oceanside for the mayor, right? I mean, I strike up conversations with total strangers. This guy totally got it when I said to him, I said, you know, because we talked about this on Ron's show, where he says, you know, Ron says, "Why are we paying taxes? These clowns print the damn stuff." And I go, "Yeah." And I was kind of reiterating some of these things and talking to this gentleman I'd never met before in my life. He just loved my bumper sticker. And he says, he absolutely knew what I was talking about. I mean, this guy, it was like manna from heaven. Because then I got close friends of mine I've known for 22 years who are so stupid. They're out there championing Obama. Like, you know, even after the evil Twitter stuff comes out about, you know, assassinating Mitt Romney, that's from the Twitter, not from me, whoever's listening in, you know, and which is disgusting. And how they can support a group of people who would act like that or think like that is beyond my comprehension. I don't, you know, or even want to be associated with this insanity. I don't get it. You know, I don't know if you have any, what do you call it, insight into that. I just don't understand these things. This is the division that you're feeling. That's what FT was also talking about. He doesn't understand what's going on. Well, the last 4 years has proven to be a very divisive presidency. He is very, he's using Saul Alinsky's class warfare and Karl Marx in every way he can. That's all he's ever known. That's what he was drenched in.
Substance.
But
when he's debating Romney, and he, like the deal last night, and the whole deal where he says military might, well, we don't have ships, and Obama starts all that stuff he was saying, Romney's response should have been to him, yes, and how far down is our enemy shrinking their military?
Well, I would, you know, there was so many opportunities, especially when the first question went to Mitt when he talked about Libya. And all of these things could have come up, because I urge everybody, if you can get in to see GBTV, yesterday's 5 p.m. Eastern show, it's 1 hour long. I'm telling you, I wish I could spread that far and wide.
Go to that, or go to the Breitbart.com. Breitbart's got stuff on this. And, yeah, they're going to – both sides, to me, I considered after watching last night, both sides are going to cover up on this.
Well, exactly. I think – either Mitt doesn't know about it,
or
he chose not to.
We have a fast and furious, only it's in Syria.
Yeah, oh yeah, and they did it in Libya, and that's what that whole thing was about.
That's what it's about.
Plus, they're gun running all over the world. The worst part about this is that Petraeus and what's his name? Clapper and Hillary and Obama were probably watching this in real time. I would bet my last penny. I'm telling you, and they covered
somebody,
it.
Somebody in that White House was watching this.
And somebody gave the order and said no. I'd love to find out which one of them was.
Well,
because they could have stopped this.
There's another slice I've heard besides the gun running. I haven't been able to verify it, so I really don't want to go into it, but it's about a blind cheek.
Oh, sure.
If that ever turned out to be true and the American public knew it, oh, my Lord. I don't care. Even the Democratic supporters would go wild.
Yeah, the whole country would go.
That would be treason in the highest order.
Yep. Listen, everything that's going on, to have this clown, they were watching this and hours went by. They could have stopped it, and that SOB goes to sleep. They could, all of them concoct this fake video nonsense lie for 2 weeks. The next day, this clown gets up and goes to Vegas to party and campaign. This is the kind of evil that's in the Oval Office. And I also want to – go ahead.
Ain't the guy who made the video still in jail?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't heard a word. Poor thing.
Yeah, I'm hearing he's still in jail. I got to ask
Ron's
why.
Ron's asking a question. I don't know. He's got to call in and ask it, because I don't know what he's asking about. Here's the thing. I also got, Ron, I got that email regarding the George Washington thing. It was 1791 that you sent to me, and I'm going to make sure that that gets spread far and wide, too. So believe me, I have my work cut out for me. Oh, God, I can hardly wait till this election's over. Then I have to put together a 3-page letter to go to if Mitt gets in and tell him what for. Oh, God, what I got to go through. But I'm telling you, that hour yesterday with the ex-CIA agent on Glenn's show, and he had a little bit of it today with an ex-general, 2-star or whatever, and a couple other people talking about this very situation, and they all concurred that these people knew, they saw it in real time, and this is how they handled it.
What? Well, we've seen today that the news media seems to be able to get to the guy who led the attack, and he's laughing his butt off. But our government's doing nothing, and Libya's government has done nothing.
Well, yeah, it's really connecting the dots, and I know Glenn's doing the best he can on this, and I hope he keeps hammering it. I do. I hope he just doesn't let up and just starts getting people involved. And you know, I know even Daryl Issa's trying to find out why they were, you know, lied to about the video, which I think he should go a little deeper. You know, I don't know. Maybe it's just me. But it's pretty nuts. And so
there has been so much corruption that Issa has his hands full with so many different investigations and this and that. I mean, it's amazing how many. It's like cover-up after cover-up after cover-up, refusal to cooperate, and all these things.
Yeah, there's so much going on. It's phenomenal. With the scandals, but nothing's going to come of it. And Michael Magic says, does it really matter? I mean, the Libya thing, well, maybe it matters to the poor woman who I'm going to bring in. I think we have Robert and Ron, so I'll try to get them both in. Let's see. Hi, Robert. Hi, Ron.
Well, Michael, I don't view poor people losing their lives as a distraction. If there was malfeasance of any way, if there was any kind of dirty dealings going on or underhanded things going on and got four of our people killed, I don't consider that a distraction.
Well, I agree with you, Bill, but that's exactly what it is. I agree with Michael. What I was talking about when Linda thought I was asking a question, you guys were talking about them watching this real time, that they knew what was going on. And I'm sitting there saying, gee, this sounds awful reminiscent of the testimony to the 9/11 commission, where Inouye or one of those guys was testifying that they were in the bunker with Vice President Cheney, and an airman was coming in and saying, sir, the target is 50 miles out. Sir, the target is 30 miles out. Sir, the target is 20 miles out. Does the order still stand? And Cheney whipped his neck around and said, of course it still stands. Have you heard anything to the contrary?
Wow.
Okay, well, there was only one thing they could be talking about.
Oh, my God.
The order to shoot it down.
No, the order not to shoot it down.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
The order not to do anything.
Yep.
Let it crash. Let it do what they're going to do. Okay? And, you know, we people don't believe that your government could have a hand in anything that would murder 3,000 of our own citizens. Are you kidding me? These people are delusional if they think that their government gives a damn about them in any
right.
way, shape, or form.
If there was anything there, the number of people that are killed in this country by illegal aliens far exceeds that 3,000 number, and yet our government does nothing about that.
The whole thing, it comes down to monetary issue. I mean, I hate to, again, I'm beating that same dead horse that I've been beating for 5 years
plus.
But
it's true, yeah.
But it's the truth. You know, the old saying, follow the money. It's always been true.
So,
oh,
Michael,
yeah.
Did you have something to say, too? Mr. Magic, are you with me?
Yes, I am. Welcome, everyone. Good evening.
Good evening.
Ron pretty much, you know, summed it up for me there. I would just include, you know,
well,
20 some years ago.
I gotta ask you guys this. I mean, let's be real. If our government is letting guns get into the hands of jihadi groups and stuff, and and RPGs and all these kinds of things. And because of it, four of our people got killed. I believe our public wants to know.
Well,
they want, I believe they want some action. There is where we're screwed. We can't get no kind of action.
Here's the thing, okay? Here's what nobody's asking. And I understand the outrage over it. But think for a minute. Number one, think back, and I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but when the first story started coming out and there was a crack in the liberal media that they seemed to be kind of going after Obama a little bit, and I told you guys, you're going to see more of this.
Right.
The jury is out, and Romney is going to be your new president, not Obama. They're done with him. They pissed him off. He pissed them off over that Keystone Pipeline.
Sure.
Guys, this is your October surprise.
Wow. And, I know we have Robert. He's waiting patiently, so I wanted to say hi and thank you for joining us.
Well, I got to be honest. I've watched these guys in all these debates, and I think Ron or Michael or Linda or I or anyone else that comes on our shows and stuff could have out-debated either one of these guys. Because neither one of them gave answers to crap.
No, it's not a debate. This last debate, you know, Romney came out there. He was shrewd in what he did, how he handled it. He put up front that he agreed with Obama on many different things. And that took the wind out of Obama's sails. How do you attack someone that says they agree with you?
Yeah, he did a good job on that. You know, Bill, what I'm going to do for you, because I'm going to try to get this to everybody too, I really want to send that one that you talked about with the districting of the states back in the day with George.
1791. I knew I had the date right.
Yeah, what we need to do is everybody needs to understand, you know, what happened in the very, very beginning. And I think I sent a reply back to you stating that you can imagine my long list of things that should be inside of a bonfire.
Well, you know.
Huge. Oh, yeah.
Huge.
And I'm sitting here going through my mind because I went back and I reread that. And I thought, you know, I don't recall, and I could be wrong because I didn't study Washington in depth.
Okay.
But I don't recall ever seeing a public statement where he made public statements against the crown.
Ah, wow.
I want to know one thing, Miss Linda.
What's that?
Why didn't we hear today after the debate that we were sending arms to the rebels in Syria?
We were sending arms to the rebels. We just don't know who they've never told you who the rebels are.
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
When we were in Libya, it was on Fox News, CNN, that we were arming Al-Qaeda freedom fighters.
Oh, yeah, but I'm talking about in the Syria deal, they made it sound like we were arming Syrian people against their government.
Yeah, right.
Well, that's the same thing they did in Libya. And it's
exactly.
It's BS.
Well, yeah, to me, it was doing nothing more than setting up the Muslim Brotherhood in power.
Sure.
Bill, this is what went on in Iran and Afghanistan back in the 70s. It was going on all through the 80s. The whole Iran-Contra affair, why do you think we were funneling stuff through Iran? If you listen to some of the top analysts that have gotten out of government, Michael Schur was one of them. He was the head of the Bin Laden group. And he said Ron Paul was 100% correct, and the rest of these guys are blowing smoke.
Mm-hmm.
He said for a fact that there is no way in hell, and we know there is no way possible, Iran does not have the technology to build a nuclear weapon from the enrichment program that they have, because it's a specific type of hexafluoride gas.
Okay.
Right.
The U.S. has the technology to take and transfer that gasified uranium into weapons grade, but the leading expert who was in our nuclear program said he doubts that we could even accomplish it today because the technology is just gone. There's no one around that still knows how to do it.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. Oh, boy.
So you have to ask why this push. See, we've been, look, we beat up on Iraq. We beat up on Iran for decades.
Yep.
And we, when Pakistan wasn't in the mix, we were using Iran. And let's not forget, we were supplying Iran with all kinds of military hardware until we decided we weren't going to do that anymore because they ousted the Shah.
Yep.
But up until that time, they were our friends. And suddenly, they hate Israel. There's always been controversy over the landmass in that area of the country. And, you know, I think a lot of it goes to the culture. We don't understand the terminology when they, you know, I watched a great documentary, one of these fruitcake guys that goes and travels, you know, and he's on the PBS or one of those things. We don't understand the terminology, the vernacular. A lot gets lost in translation. And I'm not trying to give Iran a pass. I just don't believe that they're the huge, big, nasty threat that everyone believes that they are.
Yeah, I think you're right on that one. I think that could be part of the distraction that we're always, you know, dealing with in this foreign policy nonsense.
I mean, how many times were they having war and stuff with Iraq when Saddam was in control, and what were they gaining? Nothing.
Well, and what was the war about? That's the bigger thing.
Sure.
And who was the U.S. funding? And then we run in and we chastise Hussein, and we use one of the dirtiest tricks. Oh, he gassed his own people. He used mustard gas on the Kurds in the north. Well, guess where in the hell he got it from?
We use it on our troops in the field for training.
So we sit here and see where the government likes to sit back and tinker with other governments around the world, and then when it goes bad, we sit back and wag our finger at them and say, shame on you, look what you did. We're the ones that sold them the damn weapons in the first place.
When you have corrupt people in government making deals, they are going to make deals with corrupt people.
This is why Sybil Edmonds.
That's where you get.
I'm surprised that lady said a lot.
Historically, we've done it how many times?
Constantly.
We have a history of doing it, a record of it.
Yeah, when we got tired of piddling over in the Middle East, we turned our efforts toward South and Central America, and then once we destroyed their economies and put them in turmoil, then we turned our attention back to the Middle East again. Once the Soviets were out of the picture and, you know, the newspaper articles ran, communism is dead. I wonder if they're going to print a retraction on that.
Mm.
Communism is dead. You know, it's such a big damn game of theater. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And right now, we have so many problems at home.
Sure.
And
we don't. People don't realize that many of the problems we have right here at home are something they don't want to hear what Mr. Jeremiah Wright said. America's
right.
Chickens are coming home to roost. I got news for you. A good number of the issues that we have going on are because we've been so involved elsewhere.
Yeah, Ron Paul is correct, and we've talked about it before, these stupid endless wars to, you know, keep propping up this military-industrial complex. And you're right, it's about money and power and control.
If you'd have fought a war right to begin with, you wouldn't have had all these wars because nobody would have wanted to go to war with you. They'd all been afraid to have.
Right. But instead, we fight political war.
That's exactly right. Instead, our politicians play with our soldiers and our troops' lives.
Yep.
And I have a major concern in all this right now. I have a daughter heading to Egypt, and
oh
I don't like
God.
It. Oh, I don't like it because It's a Muslim Brotherhood-led nation. Obama set it up. And,
yep.
Of all the places in the world, that's not a place I'd want my daughter.
Oh,
look,
my God.
We did it in World War II.
Mm-hmm.
We really started in earnest after World War II. Look at Korea, Vietnam, and the list is endless from there. And every one of those was a political battle that had nothing to do with our national security. And had the Central Command listened to General George Patton, we would have never had a Cold War.
Exactly.
And Ron.
Yes, sir.
Since when has there ever been a war? You tell me when it was, because you're the history buff here. Since when has there ever been a war that really, in reality, was not started by the global elite and funded on both sides? Since when?
It's always been.
Yeah. Well, you know, maybe before Napoleon.
Yeah.
The Assyrians.
I was going to say, there's been some, I'm guaranteeing you, who had nothing to do with anything other than...
Caliphate.
Hey, there's that... I see them people over there. They're not part of my tribe. Kill them.
Right. Now, the Alamo, you know, I think that was... Well, no, you laugh, but, I mean,
I
seriously, that was a turf war.
Yeah.
And the American Indian Wars, those were turf wars.
Sure.
Yeah, but, see, we don't like to talk about that because that was America and our government just flat demoralizing people and murdering them because we wanted what they had. So
and
we don't,
what were
it's
they,
not polite
what,
to talk
what
about.
What were they doing before we got here?
Oh, well, they were fighting, but a lot of them were getting along and living off the land and you know, doing just fine.
A lot of them were killing each other, especially out in the Western Plains and stuff. They were more apt to be killing each other out there than in the back in the East. Back in the East, the Iroquois established the League of Nations and stuff. Actually, part of our congressional system is copied off of it. So, yeah, they were more growing in the East, were growing more into sharing government amongst tribes and stuff.
Yeah,
out
they
west,
were becoming
they were still
European
killing and stuff. Geronimo, he hated the Mexicans worse than he hated anybody.
Yep.
Oh, my gosh.
It kills me when they try to say, well, we're the same. He didn't think you were.
Nope.
It's from the beginning of time, anywhere you look, there's always been turf war. Because that's what it's all about.
It's always going to happen. There's always going to be, it's human nature. There's always going to be someone that covets what he doesn't have and his neighbor does.
Oh, they're arguing about land on the moon. I mean, come on.
Yep.
Did you guys watch the debate?
No, I did not.
I did.
I did.
Two out of three out of three. I forced myself.
Robert, you were sitting there with a bowl of popcorn and, you know,
somebody
a bacon
needs
sandwich.
To invent this big square like they have on Hollywood Square, some big red light that goes around people that are sitting there, and that when they lie, it lights up.
Well, hell, the thing is just sitting there strobing the whole time.
It would. I've sat here through the last two debates especially, and almost everything I've heard our president say, turned out, if I check the facts, was a lie. And Romney don't give a good enough description for me to be able to check anything.
He's a consummate politician.
Yeah.
Consummate. Yep.
Yeah, but you know what? He didn't lie about... Romney did not lie about bailing out GM and going bankruptcy. He was pretty clear on that.
Obama and them keep trying to say the entire auto industry was collapsing. That's not true.
No.
Absolutely. Ford wasn't.
Ford was doing great.
Yeah. And why is that? Why is that Ford was doing so well?
That would be the question anybody should be asking. Why was Ford doing so well and the others were crashing?
I know why. Ford was doing poorly as well. Their sales numbers were down. What set Ford apart from the rest of them is that Ford foresaw the problem coming, and they secured financing before the crap hit the fan.
Wow.
So they were smarter than the others.
Yes, sir. And all the while, you know, I hear a lot of it here, and I understand the heart of wanting things made in America, but Ford understood the pressures of the auto workers union, and they have moved a lot of their plants. They have their largest manufacturing facility in Brazil, where there is no union, and it's amazing. You should look it up online sometime, because it's absolutely amazing.
I know you're right there, because Cummins Engine Company has a very huge part of their business in Brazil.
Well, you know who owns Cummins? Ford Motor Company.
Well, I didn't know Ford owned Cummins.
Ford owns 51% of Cummins. They signed a non-compete when they bought Cummins because Dodge Chrysler was using the Cummins diesel in their trucks.
And they still are.
Yep. But
I
you
know,
see,
my wife puts crankshafts in them.
The problem they have down in Brazil is they have this model factory that's built on a deep water port. They have their manufacturers like Visteon and several others that manufacture various parts for the cars, like radiator fans and seats and that kind of thing. When Ford built their assembly plant, they built assembly lines for each of their manufacturers and suppliers in their plant. So the company that makes the alternators and the starters, their assembly line for the starters and alternators is right there in the Ford manufacturing plant. Ford ships in all the materials.
I got to tell you, we're talking about Ford and Cummins there. And Cummins is very big in my area, very big. But I have a bone about Cummins, because the foundry that I used to work at was two blocks from Cummins. Two blocks. Cummins could get their brutal blocks made in Brazil dirt cheap. You know why? Labor ain't nothing. 1,200 people lost their jobs because Cummins took their blocks to Brazil.
Now, I got to ask you a question, though. Is that Cummins' fault, or is that the fault of our government intervention and making it not viable for them to do business locally?
Golden was the last independent gray iron foundry in the United States.
That ought to tell you something.
Yeah.
There's a reason why.
As far as Cummins, I would say the two things that hurt them was Cummins and a union.
Yep.
Because the union refused to work and take cuts, they still would have been the highest paid people around. And they refused to work with it. Cummins refused to talk further. And like I said, I never figured why Cummins never bought that foundry when it was two blocks from it. I mean, how convenient is that? But because other places tore down now, everything's, you know, it's becoming people who will forget it was ever there. I had already left there. My dad retired from there. But I knew so many people who worked there and their families, and that sits in my mind.
But, Bill, they didn't buy that foundry for the same reason that the foundry couldn't stay in business. If you're a business owner, if I own Cummins Diesel and I'm looking at this foundry, and the foundry, if all I want to do is cast my engine products, it's a cost benefit analysis. If it costs me more money to run that foundry because of union and government intervention than it does to have them produced and shipped from overseas, guess what I'm doing? You know, I mean, there comes a point in time when it's just not viable. You just can't.
It wasn't the fact that the owners couldn't have afforded it. They owned the two, at the time, Bailey Brothers owned the two the largest oil and coal reserves in the United States. They had bought the place off of Textron. But it's just the way that, like you said, government intervention, making things harder. And the way this labor things are, there's nothing fair. a law I would love to see, Ron, and now think about this. When we were children, our toys and everything was made to last.
Sure. Now it's planned obsolescence.
Exactly. True. There should be a way to stop that. Go back to making things that last.
Well, again, it goes back to monetary policy.
Exactly.
If you have a monetary system that requires exponential expansion and growth, you can only grow so much before you outrun technology, okay? And what I mean is, you know, okay, you look at the growth in computers, and we're developing new technology every year. They come up with new devices. But you never have that earth-shattering moment like the first PCs and then the first Windows program. Those only come along once in a blue moon. And so you have to drive consumerism. That's one thing that drives expansion, and it's all credit expansion. You have to be able to continually expand or the system will collapse. And that's what we're seeing. That's why illegal immigration won't be addressed, because the population in the United States is not producing consumers rapidly enough to continue expanding, so we'll import them. Let them come in. They're debt carriers.
And
then it all comes down to money. I'm serious as a heart attack.
I know you're right, Ron. You're dead right on it all. That's always what it's going to be about. When I made comments before that it's greed that will destroy man. It's greed of money and it's greed of power. Those two things, that is the lead to the destruction of mankind. It will be what ends us.
Well, I've said before, I believe they're going to do some kind of reset. And that thing I put in the chat room last night, I sent it to Linda, where they're revisiting the Chicago plan from 1936,
right,
which is actually from 599 B.C.
Jeez.
It all looks good on the surface, and I see exactly what it is. It is a revamp of the Federal Reserve System with all the right buzzwords in it, and it would take you back to a zero sum game and start all over.
So, how do we get to a real free market system, or is it possible under this unholy regime we're living under?
There's no way that I can see that you get there without a total economic collapse. And even then, what comes out of it is suspect at best.
Right.
It's just like, how do you get rid of Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and food stamps when you've got 47%+ of the population dependent on it?
Yeah, because then we turn into Greece and they start rioting in the streets.
Precisely. I mean, that's why you're seeing all these threats. People talking about going to riot if Obama's not reelected. That goes back to, you know, hey, guys, they think the gravy train's fixing to pull out of the station and they're not going to be on it. I'm telling
Absolutely. You. Absolutely. I know. It's horrible. And that's why they're tweeting all these things, too, the evil stuff that they're tweeting and, you know,
sure,
saying they want.
They're absolutely convinced that Mitt Romney and the Republicans are dead set on kicking their butts to the curb and cutting off the gravy train, because that's what the liberal progressives are telling them. Little do they know that Romney Ryan has no intention of doing anything of the sort. They're going to keep floating that gravy train just as long as they can.
Well, see, and that's why Romney's not going to come out and tell his base the truth, because then they'll be PO'd at him just as much as they should be. And there we are.
We are in such a bind because we got nobody telling us the truth.
Well,
exactly. And
we had somebody telling us the truth, and nobody wanted to listen to him.
Absolutely.
And now you don't. Now we don't have him anymore because he won't run again.
I know.
And who's going to replace him? And it sure ain't no Gary Johnson.
No.
Go ahead.
I can't vote for Gary Johnson, Ron. I try looking at it. I can't look at that guy. It's just something, but he rubs me the wrong way, man. He just does.
And then Rush Limbaugh was correct in saying that Obama can't tell the American people the truth about his plan because the riots would be so uprising that even the do-nothing Congress of Cowards would have to finally do something about him.
Well, Linda, you know what really upset me today? You know, what really, really ticked me off today was when Obama said he did not do it. He had nothing to do with sequestration law, and he did. And I brought that up on the show. I can't even remember when I brought it up. At least about a month ago, maybe.
I couldn't understand the thing that you said.
When Obama did not adjourn the debate last night about sequestration law, and you know he damn well signed it into law.
Okay. Well, I didn't do any fact checking on the. Basically, I think there's going to be three ways out of this. The third one is that, you know, the futurists are correct and Christ comes back. The second one is an armed revolt. And the first one would be to go the peaceful route and try to have a viable third party. How we do that
we can try the peaceful route's your hope. But
yeah.
The other, we're playing right into what the global elitists want. Total chaos from either side of, you know, the riots from the left or the revolution from the right. We're kind of playing into it. And if there was a way that we could do the peaceful route, that would be the route to take.
Absolutely.
You got to have somebody like a Ron Paul that's running it or in the positions and stuff. We're not getting that kind of people. And I don't see nobody for the future at the moment that's I consider that far into it. So I don't know where we're headed.
I know. It's a mess.
Well, I want to give you a quick quote from one of our Congress critters from April 22nd, 2011. I have met with these brave fighters, and they are not Al-Qaeda. To the contrary. They are Libyan patriots who want to liberate their nation, and we should help them do it. John McCain.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Well,
I could
go after McCain on so many fronts. I've done it so many times before. McCain is part of the same.
McCain's a traitor.
He's the same crap as the progressive. He's a progressive. Exactly what he is.
Him and his buddy Lindsey Graham.
Oh, that one. I call him Graham Cracker.
Lindsey Sham.
Ugh. Yeah, he's a Graham Cracker. That's what he is. And that's an insult to the food. So,
and his bunkmate, Lieberman. Let's not leave him alone.
Oh, God.
Good old Joe.
What a Schmendrick. Oh, God. He's another one. Oh, my Lord.
And let's be real, to clean up the mess this country is in and to actually get all those that are guilty of corruption or anything else and gather them all up and arrest them, we would be arresting tens of thousands of people.
How big is Gitmo? Can we fit them in there?
We should sit in the Gitmo.
Oh,
we I think we should sit all Congress in Gitmo.
Dang close. Well, most of them anyway.
Send them over for a little waterboarding.
Whatever.
Linda, I finally got to your article about Obama and the Trinity Church. I read that article, by the way.
Cool. Oh, you mean what? You mean the Download Club?
That totally blew me away.
Oh yeah.
I can see him doing that though.
Oh yeah, that guy's a. If he's a hetero, then. My name is the King of Narnia, or whatever they is. Please.
Yeah, Michelle is his beard.
Absolutely.
We all saw him throw a baseball. That wasn't no man.
Oh, my Lord.
And of course, his lisp has become more prevalent lately after he had the rainbow halo on Newsweek magazine or Time, whichever did it. Oh, Lord. Look what we got. It's pretty disgusting. Of course, I got a gobble the same way.
When he was labeled long-legged Mac Daddy by Manning, Reverend Dr. Reverend Manning, whatever, he nailed it straight on. That's what he is. He's a con man.
Larry Sinclair, the law, and Barack Obama had a gay love affair
Okay.
What's the name? What's the name of the book? Lies, Cocaine, and Barack Obama.
Yeah. But then you repeat yourself.
Well, I'm hearing that Trump's announcement's going to be about Obama being a cocaine dealer. Which that wouldn't that fit because you had the drug cartel saying that he was giving us guns and letting us bring drugs to Chicago.
Sure. And
we're protecting the opium crop in Afghanistan. We had George Bush Sr. involved with cocaine and stuff. And I mean, come on.
Sounds vaguely reminiscent of Bill Clinton and the Arkansas gang.
Yes. Oh, yes. And I like what Dick Morris said when Clinton came out and said that the economy was broke and still broken. And someone said he made a slip, and Morris says Clinton doesn't make a slip. If he said it, he meant it. It was a revenge stab back at Obama for trying to throw Hillary under the bus.
He didn't have to throw her under. She walked under all of her own accord. That's what I see.
Well,
yeah,
I keep trying to tell people, Hillary's not worried about our politics and our country. She has designs and ideas of being on the IMF.
Yes, she does.
Oh, my God.
I thought that was so ironic because the night before we were on one of the shows, and I remember saying, wouldn't it be refreshing to see one of our politicians just step up and say, you know what, the buck stops here, I'm responsible. And the next day she did.
She
could have knocked me over with a feather. I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah, she walked under that bus all by herself. Man, it's just amazing. And they will do anything to protect this Schmendrick. But I don't understand.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. It was so much her trying to protect Obama as she was putting herself up there so that she couldn't be attacked by Obama
either.
And the rest of them.
Oh, wow. Yeah, well,
I believe you're right there.
I think
she was looking out for Hillary.
Yep,
you're damn right.
Because she was, I'll bet she was in that Situation Room along with him and Petraeus and a few others. I betcha they were watching this. And then they're sitting there figuring out how to lie about it.
That's why I said this is your October surprise. Not that it happened, but that it's getting turned on them and they're fixing to get buried. Which is why I believe Hillary came out and said, you know what, it's my responsibility. She's trying to put her ass in the clear.
Well, she probably is quite privy to the information that they're done with him, that he's gone.
Sure.
And that's why they were even talking about it on Glenn's radio show, which is kind of surprising, that from the Hill Buzz and all this stuff that's been going on with all these other entities where we get our information from on the net, that that he's buying or has already purchased, or someone has bought it for them in Hawaii. They know. They're getting ready to pack and go.
Sure.
And they ain't going back to Chicago.
Look,
so.
I'm telling you, this is why you go back to the monetary thing, all right? I believe that it was some time ago when they had the G20 and then the G8 meeting.
Uh-huh.
That they, the G8 agreed at that time that, okay, this is the plan. When we're at critical mass, we
sure.
either sit and do nothing and wait for the inevitable, and it's going to get really ugly,
mm-hmm.
or we can just go ahead and accelerate it now, knowing that at some point we'll come back together and we'll agree and we'll have this reset. That's where I think the Chicago plan comes into play.
Wow.
So they said, you know what, you're right. We're not worried about the debt. We're not worried about the debt ceiling because we know at some point soon it's all going to go away and we'll start fresh at zero. So what the hell? We'll just
yep.
spend like crazy and run the debts up. It doesn't matter because we're going to wash it all anyway.
Yeah, the whole thing, it's theater. You're right. It's absolute. It's a mind game. It's a chess game. It's a shell game. We know. People who are paying attention and trying to educate ourselves. So,
yep.
Oh my God. Yeah. That article about the 1791, that just blew me. I'm going, well, we're just knocking down the myths left and right, aren't we? One by one. Holy.
Do you realize that in 2012, China was the number 10 country in the world in holdings of gold. China bought 512 tons of gold in 2012.
I believe it. And I think Soros beat him out, not in amounts, but in timing-wise. He was buying it probably a year and a half ago by the truckload. Yeah, they know. These guys know. They're orchestrating it.
Who do you think the number two largest holder of gold is in the world behind the U.S.? We're number one.
Okay.
Take a wild guess.
China and Saudi Arabia.
China's number 11 or 10.
Oh.
Number two is in Europe.
Britain?
Germany.
Oh, you got it.
Oh, wow. Oh, my gosh.
Germany
is almost even close to a stable economy there.
let me tell you something. Germany's Supreme Court just ordered a complete audit of all their gold holdings.
Wow. Oh, my God. It's amazing.
Where's the Vatican?
Vatican's not on the list.
Huh.
That's crap. Nobody's taking more gold from all over the world than the Vatican.
We know that's true.
Wow. It's amazing.
But the U.S. stands at like 8,534 tons.
Yeah, how many were crap when they found out that none of it's at Fort Knox?
Well, Germany is at like 3,564 tons, and then it goes way down from there.
Huh.
That's why Germany is ordering an audit. You see, one of the problems is that Germany doesn't hold all that gold in their vaults, just like the United States doesn't hold all the gold in their vaults. A lot of it is held by central banks around the world.
Hmm.
And we know now that central banks have been leasing gold. That is, moving it from one vault to another within the same building and leasing it on paper. Trouble is, they've leased more gold than they actually hold.
That's what I was getting ready to say, Ron. I believe if you checked it all out, there ain't enough gold to cover everybody who's invested in it and stuff.
There's not. We know that for a fact. That's why several months ago, we had all the uproar in the commodities market when the COMEX started upping everyone's requirement, their margin requirements, until they pushed the people out of commodities trading that were in silver and gold, because silver was right at the threshold of $50 an ounce, and they know that's kind of a magic number, a magic ceiling. Once it breaks $50 an ounce, we're off to the races. And they also know that J.P. Morgan, just as one example, they have on their books something on the order of 180 times the amount of silver they actually physically possess.
Wow.
So it's going to get ugly. Because as we draw closer, and I'm telling you, this whole currency thing, people think it's going to be like a one-world currency. I don't think that's true. I think it's going to be just like it is now. You're going to have several different currencies, but they're all going to be based on a single standard, which is what you have now, an oil standard.
Right.
I don't think you're going to have a currency.
Don't go there.
I think they're just going to run you through and scan your chip.
Ain't going to be me. Because they'll have to catch me first.
I don't think they'll ever do that, Bill, for a couple of reasons. Number one, the black market is too lucrative. I'm dead serious. It's more lucrative for governments than it is for drug cartels and everybody else. How in the hell do you think they fund a lot of these black ops?
Wow.
You know, you can only buffalo people into believing that your government is buying $1,000 toilet seats and $2,000 hammers.
Yep.
That only goes so far.
Exactly. My God. So it doesn't add up otherwise.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Which is why you have, you know, deals like Bill Clinton and MENA, Arkansas. That's why you had Holly North and the Iran-Contra thing, where we're trading dope for guns. It's a drug smuggling and gun-running operation, and your government's been doing it for decades.
But at the same time, they've been kicking the crap out of your citizens for doing it.
Well, of course. You got to keep maintain control. You realize that over 42% of our federal prison population is there on drug charges?
Yeah, that's hokey.
Now,
I hate that. That's so stupid.
I would like to break that down even further and say, you know, how many is there on pot charges?
Right.
Yep.
I don't consider pot to be the same thing as a man-made drug.
But, you know, honestly, when it comes right down to it, who the hell cares if it's heroin, meth,
yep,
pot, coke, or Budweiser, or Wild Turkey, or whatever, you know? Well, I mean, how come some are okay and some aren't? They're all bad, and there's always going to be people that abuse them and do stupid things.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know what they're doing? They're doing is the same method that they use to control us is the same. The other method to do it is through fear, and that's why they do what they do as far as throwing these poor kids into jail for having a couple pounds of pot or whatever because they want to get high once. You know,
an ounce of pot or something, yeah.
Or even if they have a couple pounds and they're going to, you know, maybe it's a whole 10-year supply. I don't know because I don't smoke it anymore. I did when I was young, but that only lasted about a year and a half. I was a wild child at 18 or whatever I was. But
well, when I did, 2 pounds wouldn't last me no year.
See, I didn't do that much, so it wouldn't me.
But the point there is, you know, you look who the biggest lobbyists are against marijuana, and they're the drug company and the alcohol companies.
Well, of course it would cut into their profits.
And I look at the FDA, and I'm thinking, every time I turn on my TV, I see a commercial about something you passed that ended up being bad later. And, you know, it's just like these, the meningitis and all these other things. These people pass these drugs.
Right.
And then come back later and say, well, don't. And then they complain about marijuana. And if you use the real statistics, you got to ask yourself, why in the hell are we even messing with Big Pharma?
I'm going to tell you a story about that. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, if we really wanted a war on drugs, in all honesty, if we're going to base it on cost to the public, right, then we ought to be having a war on alcohol and tobacco because they kill more people than illicit drugs ever thought of doing.
Yeah, they're here in California, especially in my area, they have been pushing these flu shots like crazy this year. I mean, they are just coming out of the woodwork. They got these big signs outside of Albertsons. They got big signs inside the store. They got people accosting you as you walk in. Have you had your flu shot yet? And I said, no, and I don't plan on it. And she's, this kid's about 18, 19. She goes, oh, yeah, they hurt. And I says, that's not why. I said, I don't trust them. Then I walked on. And then we get a phone call from some, it was like one of those automated robocalls, right? You should get your flu shot and your pneumonia shot this season. And a big questionnaire. And would you like to have your little diary and records? And you can access your records, and then you can share your records with whoever. I hung up. I was just livid. I couldn't do anything because I had to do verbal responses because that phone didn't have a keypad. Oh, my Lord.
Ain't nothing funnier than when I'm around people who's had a flu shot and they're sick and I haven't had one and I'm not.
That's right. Oh, they're pushing it. I mean, they're robocalling the 90-year-olds, which is my mom's close to. I mean, it's unbelievable what's going on. They just keep pushing them. Oh, my God.
I thought my doctor was going to have a stroke when I told him I had never taken an aspirin.
Yeah, wow. I can't say that. I had back surgery. I took a whole lot more than that. But
taking a few Quaaludes back in the day, but never an aspirin.
I've done some harder drugs in there, but for most of my life, no, I never did take an aspirin. When I was a kid, my grandfather always told me, if you start, you'll never be able to stop. They're designed that way, Will. And he's right. Many of the pills are designed that once you start, you can't stop. That's man-made drugs. They kill more than anybody. I mean, they kill more than anything, any other drugs combined, all the illegal drugs combined. 25% of our school children are on one. Or women over 40, you got like 50% of them are on one, usually a mood enhancer. And I'm all for that.
Yeah. I was trying to find an ad that's my...
And if you're going to be environmentally friendly, well, you can produce a lot more biofuel from hemp than you can corn or soybeans.
Yeah.
You can make cloth out of it. You can make paper out of it, so you're not cutting down all your trees. I mean, it's all just a scam ignorance. People don't put things out and look at the entire picture and say, well, wait a minute, these people don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
Today, yeah, the newest one, Jesus was a vegan.
Oh.
Or God meant for everybody to be a vegan. And they were basing it on the Bible, and I'm thinking, well, they evidently haven't read the first chapter.
Wow.
Because it tells me there that he gave me meat.
Well, and
that's the kind of things. And people can send anything to you in the mail. Ask the people in Florida.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then we had that the what do you call it, Proposition 37, and they were debating it on the local radio show because they're trying to go against Monsanto with the GMOs, and they want everything labeled. And the only problem with that proposition is, and, you know, we do have a right to know, and I try to grow my own stuff and be very careful and don't buy much corn because I don't know where it's coming from, you know. But the proposition doesn't go after Monsanto and doesn't go after banning GMO foods altogether, which is where I would start, you know.
Well, India banned Monsanto.
Yeah, we could do it too. We could.
But you've got France has got a lawsuit against Monsanto, and many other countries have got lawsuits against them, while our country continues to kiss up to them. But you got to look at who controls Monsanto and who they are.
Oh, yeah, they're eugenicists.
Monsanto's owned by the Democratic Party.
Yeah, and Bill Gates is right in there with them.
And I got to ask, why in the hell do we have this huge seed vault up in the Arctic? You know? And another thing, Linda, I saw an article today that right over there in your neck of the woods, a 12-year-old has been denied, been kicked out of school because of his genetic markers.
Oh, my God.
What the hell is that?
He has a predisposition to a genetic disorder. He doesn't have the genetic disorder, but the school district is denying him being able to attend school because they don't want anyone with that genetic predisposition, the genetic markers for this, whatever it is, I forget, Asperger's or something, in their classrooms.
I think they just did him a favor. Knowing
I was
going
to say the same thing, Linda. I think he'll
be
better
God.
Off.
Oh, my God.
He'll be better educated.
The thing is, that's part of the whole eugenics deal.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I know. Now, yeah. No, I agree with you on that. This targeting through this gun. Not, this is like, yeah, this is the, what do you call it? Oh, that movie where the what were they? The guys that they were in the hooked up to the thing, and they would say that this guy's going to do a crime, and they hadn't even thought about it. Or
they're
just
the precogs. What was
yeah,
that?
Yeah, the precogs.
Premonition. Well, that's what they were called, but
we have that in Columbus, Indiana, right now, where cops can, if they think you look suspicious, pull you over. It's now a practice in Columbus, Bartholomew County, Indiana.
Jeez.
Yeah, I look at that like, what makes a guy look suspicious? I like to see their reasonings and them list all that. And then I like to see how many people they pulled over that there wasn't nothing wrong with compared to how many they actually catch.
Damn Gestapo, I'm telling you. Yeah, we've got some problems. So I don't know what the answer is. Pray.
Well, Lisa Deaton and her crew are fighting that in Columbus, and I'm glad I stand with them in that fight. It's just wrong when you're getting to where you're assuming that this guy might be a criminal.
It's nuts. Yeah.
Oh, can't have police checks for illegal immigrants because that's profiling. But we can check you in case you look suspicious.
So if they take this to the max, then we're going to have people with little patches of gold stars on their sleeves. I'm telling you, these SOBs. Oh, I don't put anything past them. I don't. That's why I keep buying extra ammo. I need to do more.
I haven't got enough.
Of course.
Well, and we were talking about Monsanto, and you mentioned Gates. It was just a short time back when Bill Gates bought 500,000 shares of Monsanto.
That's what you were telling me. Yeah.
But he wasn't the only one. George Soros bought 500,000 shares of Monsanto.
Oh, wherever there's evil to be had, you could make sure that George Soros is not far behind. Believe me, that guy, I swear he was spawned from something. I don't know what, but yeah, he's awful.
Yeah. When the Democrats are attacking the other side for the Koch brothers or this or that, nobody ever throws Soros back in their faces.
No.
They're talking about people paying their fair share. Nobody throws Jeffrey Immelt in his face.
Nope. Or, yeah, he's one. That's another one from GE. Yeah, absolutely.
He pays no taxes.
And how about Warren Buffett, who's got,
$8 billion behind.
Totally in bed with Obama. I swear, does everybody that's in this greed factory, they must carry little, those ropes, the soap on a rope thing. Only they must have the rope with the KY jelly because they are so deep in bed with these clowns. I mean, they must.
I found the article on this, and I'm sorry to break in. It's on Natural News. An 11-year-old California schoolboy named Coleman Chatham has been banished from his school and forced to transfer to another school because he carries the genetic mutation for cystic fibrosis.
Oh,
the boy
God.
Has no symptoms of the disease and is in perfect health. He is being banished from his own school solely due to the genetic code that he carries.
Okay,
this
where's
is
the
being
attorney
reported-
on this one?
Yeah, this is being reported by Fox News, Daily Mail, and other news outlets.
Man. Where's the ambulance patient?
The first thing I have to ask is this. Did the school do his genetic test, or did he bring it to the school when he came?
Yeah, I don't know. That's one of those things. How did they even find out? Now they're banning, they're calling it medical racism. And The article says, next is progress to racial genetic profiling with declarations that people of certain races are genetically inferior and therefore unable to be taught in public schools.
Okay.
We will be told. And from there, as history has shown, it moves into a eugenics phase where mad scientists backed by government power pursue forced sterilizations of those who don't have the correct genetic profile.
Good God!
Oh my gosh!
You know what? If the parents and the community around these parents don't stand up and start screaming bloody murder, they've got to have their heads examined. They really, really do.
They are indifferent.
Indifferent. Insanity. Oh my God! That's why we have what we have.
You commit a crime right in front of them, and they don't see it.
Thanks. Let me pick this up.
You can steal their pocketbook. You steal their purse. And they wouldn't see it. They're that way.
Yeah.
They are just.
Well, Rod asked the question in the chat room, how does this jive with kids going to school that have AIDS? Well, they cover that actually in the article. So, I it's just one of those things. You're like, really? I mean, how is this even possible?
Oh, my God. I don't know. It's outrageous. I'm
flabbergasted at it because I can't figure out how the heck did he get his genetic code to begin with. And I want to see the teacher's genetic codes.
Yeah, that ought to tell you something. It's amazing. The people who are not waking up, they must have keepers. How do they even function? I don't understand it. I just don't. Blows me away.
Well, it's amazing that you're going to deny a child education based on genetics.
Good God.
Not that he's got any contagious disease or anything.
So would they have denied Stephen Hawking?
Probably so.
Well, that would be a case I'd throw in their face. Under this, you would have denied Stephen Hawking an education, and he's one of the most brilliant people on the planet in some areas.
Right.
Yeah, God. I don't know.
in other areas, like the Thomas Sowell kind of things. I would take Thomas Sowell over him. But,
wow.
You know, I consider Thomas as more wisdom. But
it's crazy.
It is crazy, and it makes you wonder, what next? What next? What's that
guy? I know.
Drinking with Bob or something. He's from California, isn't he? He does these little commercials about. He goes, he's getting better. Beginning when he do these little commercials, he'd about have a stroke or a heart attack. And he ends with, "What's next? What's next?"
Oh yeah, I think I've seen some of
those.
I've
seen him recently. He's no fan of Obama.
Yeah, I just talked to one friend that I've. She's a libtard, but I mean, how you go from in the primaries back in June voting for Ron Paul to now supporting Obama is beyond my comprehension. I didn't talk politics when I spoke to her. I said, let you and me and Myrna, let's get together after the election, because I do have a legitimate excuse. I am doing a lot of phoning and precinct walking and all that stuff and working the polls anyway. So I don't know. I'm going to have to hold my tongue a little bit, but I will gloat if Mitt gets in just to piss him off.
My heart breaks because I see this election is just like the last election, like election before it. Where no matter who we choose, we're choosing a progressive.
I know.
And,
I see. I get it.
I'm
it's disheartening.
Country guy. I try to be a simple country guy. I live in the country. I live in a smaller community out in rural areas. I put my country high. I hold it up high in my heart, in my mind, to my children, to my friends and my family. The only thing I hold higher is God.
Mm-hmm.
And I love it so much. And that's why I served it, why I would fight for it, why I would die for it. I love my country, and I cannot understand people that don't love their country and see the chaos and the downhill slide that we're rolling downhill to the edge of the cliff, and we're about to go over.
I'm right.
And if
Bill,
you love your country, how can you stand back? How can you remain silent?
The reason is they have no point of reference. They, like I said before, they know maybe less than one-tenth of what you and I know and people on this site. They don't read anything. They couldn't come up with anything out of any of the books I've read, not one iota, because, of course, they never got it in school. But, my God, it's out there. I found it. Why can't they? No, they have no point of reference. They don't understand any of this. They are the allegory of the cave. I'm telling you, they are the cave.
And it's too damn complicated, and they don't want to know. I don't want to know.
Yep. Or they'll like in Plato's thing, they'll kill you if you try to. It's the old James A. Garfield, the truth shall set you free, but first it will make you miserable. And I agree with that 100%.
That is right. But in the very end, it makes you happy. Because you don't have to be put on airs. I don't have to worry about nothing coming back and biting me in the butt if I tell the truth.
Exactly. You don't have to remember your lies, right?
Right.
Yeah, exactly. And we know we have everyone here that I see. We're good Christian folk here. We love the Lord. We study His Word. We try to see the connection between the principles and a good form of government, which has been, you know, from the beginning messed with, because men are not angels. But at least we know where we're going when it's all said and done. Even if they win temporarily, they don't really win. You know what I mean? They can take your life, but they can't take your place in heaven.
I think we all share three things: a love of our God, a love mm-hmm. of our country, and a love of our fellow Americans.
Right, right.
And I look out there, and I say, where are the rest of you?
Well, you know what? Sometimes you can't make them drink the water. They're still stuck in the Kool-Aid, and half of their body's still in the allegory of the cave. They ain't coming out. They're just not.
You know, Bill makes a great point about love of country.
Uh-huh.
And it's something that has been used, and you see the attacks. You go back and look in retrospect. Now, it's much along the same lines as some of the things that Miss Terry has talked about on her show, where the parents are in denial because they love their children. So, oh, not my little Johnny. He would never do something like that. Well, our love for country sometimes blinds us to the fact, mm-hmm. oh, not my country. My government would never do that. It's the same mindset.
Right.
And when
right.
you bring it up to people who have a strong love of country, man, look out. You're a communist. You're a scumbag. You're, you know, blame America first crowd. I mean, we've heard it all.
Uh-huh.
No, it's just that we have to admit when we're wrong. If we're not able to self-examine.
Examine, yeah, right.
Okay, if we're not able to call out when we're doing the wrong thing, then we might as well hang it up.
Exactly. I mean, look at all the mistakes we've done. The Civil War was not anything pleasant. Slavery was horrible. Of course, that wasn't instituted from this North American continent. That started in Africa and the Dutch and the Europeans and all the rest of it.
And the Muslims.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Oh, yeah. And, in fact, I think the first slave owners were black people.
Yes, ma'am.
Yep. If I go back and read a little bit. We have things we should remember that to not do again, right? Let's examine and not do those things again.
We have history. We have seen bad things happen, not only here and other places. We have seen corruption tear down countries and things. And if we can't examine ourselves and admit that the things are happening here and that we got to do things to stop this, turn it around, or we're going to lose the country that we love.
Yeah.
Y'all, you're bragging about loving your country don't mean nothing if you don't get out there and do what's right.
Mm-hmm.
And that entails that you got to do a little research. You got to
sure.
do a little checking. You got to know what you're talking about. You can't go off half-cocked.
You're exactly right. That's, you know, it's like the priests back in the olden days in Jerusalem that would go out and stand on the street corner and flail themselves and to convince everyone how devout they were. Yeah, they were the den of thieves and the vipers, the snakes,
mm-hmm.
the very spawn of Satan that was the problem.
Sure.
You know, and it's the same thing. Folks that want to tout their patriotism and wave the flag and run around like idiots, but do absolutely nothing to call out their government, you know, when they're dead wrong, I'm sorry, but true patriotism is questioning your government and holding them accountable. And we
Huge.
Haven't done that. We've not
yeah.
done that.
Amen. No, we haven't.
I know.
And that's what's got us to the point where we're at, because we haven't. We sat idle for too many years, all
yes.
of us. And we sat idle for too many years, not paying attention. We were just like a lot of other people. But when things started happening and when we woke up, these others didn't. And they're
I
still
know.
Going on. And Ron's right. I've seen guys at events, they're waving their flag. But when you start talking about the problems and when you mention that it
uh-huh.
was both parties that brought us to this brink,
oh,
they will explode on you. They
oh,
will
yeah.
explode
sure.
on you.
And, you know, if you say something about, you know, we shouldn't be using our military, oh, you're a scumbag. No, dude, those guys deserve better. I'm sorry, but we've treated our military like shit from day one. Pardon my French.
You got it right, though. Yeah, you're
and
right.
we treat our veterans like crap. And the fact of the matter is that, by and large, we have confused nationalism with patriotism.
Sure.
And
oh, my
we
gosh.
We have put blinders on. And what is or should be patriotism, the belief in an idea that was America, that gave birth to America, instead, we've replaced that, supplanted it with government.
Oh, yeah. And
it
sucks.
It was never about government, damn it.
It wasn't. Well, it shouldn't have been. I mean, there was, you know, that little trick he did with the districting in 1791 stinks. But
sure. And you know, look, Hamilton was right there in the thick of it. I mean, we could go pick apart the founding fathers for their political faux pas and meandering. You know, I think it's wrong that we deify a lot of these people.
Sure.
Whether it's Washington or Lincoln or any, they're men. They put their drawers on one leg at a time. And again, we get so blinded and enamored.
Too damn trusting.
With their legend.
That's true.
You know, we're so sold on the legend of the man. You're just not going to get a true reality of who the man is.
Right. Yeah, because if you're going to put a halo on all of them, then, you know, there's your blinding point right there. It's stupid. You can't do that. They're not angels. They're not beasts. They're in between, like Terry Rowland says. They're certainly not God. And
nope.
At least I know better than to even think that I'm worthy
of that
title.
And that's the only one I'm bowing to.
Absolutely, babe. He's the King of Kings.
Yep.
If you take it, I know, and I know Ron Golden is like this, and I know my goal is like this. I want someone to look me in my eyes and talk to me.
Right.
I don't want someone who's got to look down or look to the sides and stuff because they can't confront me because they can't be truthful or honest.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And don't beat around the bush and give me all these platitudes and BS.
Yeah.
Deal it straight, plain and simple.
Yeah.
But they can't. They just can't. They're incapable.
Ron,
well,
what's your final?
A lot of that's because they've been indoctrinated to be, you know.
Oh, I agree. Look,
correct. You know, don't hurt someone's head, hurt someone's feelings. I will tell a person flat out, do not ask me a question if you don't want an honest answer. Because if you ask me, I'm going to give you an honest answer, and you may not like it.
Yeah, if the truth offends you, you know, you might want to move along because I'm going to tell it the way I see it. And it's just the way it is. I don't know any other way of doing it.
I'm going to kind of do a little rundown and stuff. Thanks, Rod and FT and all you guys for coming in. And thanks, Ron and Bill, so much because we did a last-minute thing. I got in. I called in the actual Skype in at about 2 minutes still. So we got in. And
I like for everybody to get on election night on Tuesday. Come on. We'll do a little talking and stuff before they go do the voting and stuff or whatever. But,
I need to get Michael Magic or Ron to do it for you because I'm going to be gone the whole day.
Okay.
Well, you know Michael loves politics, so he'll be right there.
Somebody's got to get it in for him. Get Bill in here because I'll be not home till 10 o'clock my time.
I'll probably share Michael's hatred of politics, but when it comes to doing what we're doing and stuff, and I hate that we have to be involved in politics, but something, that's where things just got to be done through. And if we don't do it, who will?
I know.
Well, you know, I mean, the thing is, you look around, what in life today can you honestly say isn't political?
Exactly. What's going on, yeah.
Outside of your own private life at home,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'll tell you, we went yesterday.
That's political.
Yeah, well, it's true. We went yesterday and had a little lunch, and I had my daughter there and the three grandbabies, the new little granddaughter. And I'm telling
did you play democracy where you voted on where you was going to go eat?
No, I'm a dictator. Sorry. Sorry, this is a dictatorship. I'm the boss.
I'm the same way, Ron. I told my kids that once, and we had a little discussion, and they said, let's vote on it. And I said, oh, you've made a large mistake. This is not a democracy. This is a dictatorship. I am the army, therefore I rule.
I could spend the whole day just watching my grandkids, holding my grandbabies. I can't look at my granddaughter without tearing up. She's beautiful. Perfect. And, you know, that's what it's all about. The rest of it, they can have it. I don't care.
Yeah. Well, she's loved and protected, and that's what's important. And they're so precious. I got 60 I seconds. I love you guys. Come see me tomorrow at my show. I got a whole bunch of stuff going on, man.
God bless, hon. Did you
God
see
bless.
I did put up pictures on Patriot Family, by the way.
I'm going to go check it out. Okay.
Okay.
Thanks, Bill.
Good night, all. Good night, Ron.
God bless you.
Everybody have a blessed night.
Okay.
God bless.
Good night, guys. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
My freedom, I'll keep my guns, try to keep my money and my religion too, try to keep on working, try to keep on smiling, I will keep my Christian name and y'all can keep the change. I'll keep my
God bless, good night.